This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
We have audio cut of the day coming up. The whole team will be here tomorrow. Fred and Sue are off today. Ethan Hannaford is producing the show. He's going to pop in on us here because we have Matt Pauly from down the hall on the KMOX side, the Cardinals Radio Network. We have not chatted in a while. I figured this was a good opportunity. Matt, how are you?
I'm good.
Good to see you, dude. It's been a while since we've chatted anything sports, hasn't it? You know, one of the reasons is because you and I, at the beginning of the baseball season, were talking quite a bit about the Cardinals. And as I remember, it wasn't a great season. We didn't really, don't take it personally that we didn't invite you back a bunch. We just didn't talk much about Cardinals.
I know you hate me. It's okay. You can admit
it. I just couldn't bring myself to talk about the Cardinals. And it was painful because I really love baseball and I depend on baseball for entertainment. And let me just start there. And Ethan, you can jump in as well because, you know, you have thoughts about the Cardinals as well. Let's start with baseball. And I do want to cover Mizzou and the Blues and a couple other things here. But is there, what kind of hope could you paint for a Cardinals fan right now for next season?
For next season?
That's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is tough because the payroll is coming down. I will say this. When John Mozeliak spoke at the GM meetings last week, and I wasn't there, so all I could do is read the quotes, I thought his tone was a little bit different. And they signed their new TV deal, and it's a 23% cut in revenue for TV. That sounds like a lot compared to what else is going on in baseball and the other Bally markets that are not getting actual TV deals and are going with their in-house produced stuff. Cardinals are in a pretty good spot. Just the 23% pay cut is probably about as good as it could be. And gambling, just barely passing.
Barely.
Yeah. So one revenue stream is cut not quite as much as it could have been, and another revenue stream is being created.
So that helps.
Yeah. I listened to John Mozeliak, and reading those quotes, I thought his tone was just a little bit different. Obviously, payroll's going down. I think one more big contract gets moved, likely Nolan Arenado. But the doom and gloom, everybody's getting traded, it's going to be a double-A team. I don't think that's going to be the case for next year. And I think if you squint a little bit, you can see them being as good as they were this year, which stinks when they're going for it. But when they're in the middle of kind of a reset with the idea in years moving forward, they're going to be able to compete at a higher level. Honestly, if they're in playoff contention and maybe sneak into the playoffs next year with no real shot of going on a playoff run, I think that'd be a nice season next season.
But what do we know at this point? We know that Paul Goldschmidt has declared for free agency, right?
Yeah, and they're not talking to him.
Yeah, right. So yeah. He's going to move on, unfortunately. Yep. And it's disappointing because we loved him. He's been a great, you know, Cardinal, and we couldn't bring home a championship for him or Arenado. We know that Wilson Contreras is going to move to first base, right?
Yep.
Thoughts on that?
I like it because it keeps his bat in the lineup, potentially, if it worked. The idea is he's going to have the potential to be healthier more of the season. He has missed so much time, especially this past season. And with all due respect to his defensive catching, which was perfectly fine. People are used to Yadier Molina. It wasn't Yadi, but what he did defensively as a catcher this past season was fine. But he's not here for his defense as a catcher. He's here for his bat. And when you look at his numbers, he's a top five, top six offensive first baseman. There seems to be this feeling that, oh, well, his offense at catcher is great, but if you move him to first base, it's not good anymore. That is not correct. His offense stands up quite well. I mean, once you get past the Freddie Freemans and, you know, the other top tier, maybe future Hall of Fame type first baseman, Contreras is right there.
So my reaction when I first heard about this as just, an uneducated sports fan, Scotty Worm was on last week, and I kind of liked it. And then he threw all kinds of cold water on it, but from the defensive perspective, because, and I think his points were well taken. This is a position where we might, especially after looking at Goldschmidt for these past years, he makes it look easy.
Yeah, Contreras will not be as good of a defensive first baseman as Goldschmidt was. There may not be a better active defensive first baseman than Paul Goldschmidt right now. He's one of the best. But Contreras is going to work really hard. He's athletic enough to block balls behind the plate. He's going to know what it takes. He put so much work in. You think of who he was defensively as a catcher in Chicago and what he became in St. Louis. He did that with work, and bluntly, he did that with work where he didn't have a lot of help from the Cardinals because they don't have a catching instructor and things like that. The infrastructure that they need wasn't there. So
that's interesting.
He was doing most of that just on his own. So Again, when you put it up against Paul Goldschmidt, yeah, the defense is going to take a step back, but he's not going to be a bad defensive first baseman.
So who is then the starting catcher, or is it truly a competition between Pius and Herrera?
Yeah, I think it's going to be that. If you base it off the playing time from this past year, it certainly seemed like the team was more comfortable with Pedro Pius. If you base it off offensive potential, Ivan Herrera's bat can be a middle-of-the-order bat. So that's going to be one of the big questions for the Cardinals in spring training. Do they go with the guy who's better defensively in Pius, or do they go with the guy who can be a real plus bat in the lineup?
I like the bat in the lineup.
We switched to the battery. Talking about the battery here, switching to the pitching side of things, you know, we know that Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson likely aren't returning, with the player options not being, or the club options not being taken. What are your thoughts on what the starting rotation is going to look like next year? We know that Sonny Gray wants to stay, but then you got some ugly contracts right now with Michaelis and Matz, but they want to go younger. It seems kind of backwards trying to build forward with a young squad.
Right now, if you look at the rotation, it goes Gray, Fetty, Palante, Michaelis, maybe Matz, maybe McGreevy. I don't even know if there's room for a Graceffo. Eventually, Quinn Matthews is going to get there. I feel like there's got to be another spot or two opened up for some young guys. I want to see Gordon Graceffo get that chance. I want to see Quinn Matthews when he's ready for there to be a door for him to walk through. So I actually wouldn't be shocked if this team maybe trades Eric Fetty. There seems to be some speculation out there that he could really be a valuable piece for teams that maybe come up short in terms of trying to acquire starting pitching via free agency. So if they moved on from him, maybe that opens up something. I'd love to see the team get out from underneath the contracts of Steven Matz and Miles Michaelis. I think it's a little bit easier with Matz than Michaelis. You have to, if you move on from Michaelis, you have to pay a ton of his salary. And he's got a no trade. He's very comfortable in St. Louis. He gets to sleep in his own bed when he's at spring training. Like, there's a lot of things going against being able to trade Miles Michaelis.
So what about, you mentioned Arenado before. I mean, I think right now it looks like he has to approve of the trade, but there might be trade possibilities that might come up over the winter, right?
Yeah, I think there's a few spots that you can see how it would work. He would work probably pretty well in Houston. They could use somebody over at third base. There's been some rumble. I don't think he would love to go east unless it's an obvious World Series championship type situation. So people mentioned Boston. I don't see that so much. People have mentioned Philadelphia, maybe, because Philadelphia is a really good team. Obviously, he would love to go to L.A. and be with the Dodgers, but they got Max Muncy over there, and they would have to move some things around. Not that they can't, but they would have to move some things around for him. I think he likely gets moved. I would caution Cardinals fans on this because he still has, even with the Rockies picking up some of his salary this upcoming season, there's still a hefty amount of money connected to Arenado's contract. Don't think that if the Cardinals trade Nolan Arenado that there's going to be this heavy influx of prospects coming back for him. This would be more of a salary dump than anything else.
So then that would maybe raise it, what would be wrong with keeping him?
They want to go young. They want to give guys an opportunity.
Couldn't you have gotten more from him at the trade deadline over the summer, though?
Maybe, but they were in a different spot then.
Okay.
His value was kind also of so low because of how poorly he was playing.
Well, that's
too.
True. I mean,
yeah.
You're hoping that he improves and that maybe that increases a little bit.
But if you are going to be John Mozeliak and company and talk about we're going to open up opportunities for younger players, well, then you got to open up opportunities for younger players. And when Wilson Contreras becomes your first baseman, that closes off an opportunity because that could have been Alec Burleson and Luken Baker. So right now you're looking at second and third. J.J. Weatherholt's going to be your second baseman at some point probably in the next 12 months. So that opens up third. And you've got Nolan Gorman, Brendan Donovan, Thomas Sejesi. I'm probably missing guys off the top of my head. You got to open up a situation somewhere.
So how Matt and I both spent a fair amount of time in Milwaukee. I was there a long time ago. You were there more recently. But how did they do it?
they invest in infrastructure, they invest in technology, and they invest in people. And when I'm talking about people, I'm not talking about players. I'm talking about support staff. You know, the Katie Wu of The Athletic had an article.
Well, I talked about it a lot. That really was eye-opening, because it talked about all the support people that other teams have that we don't have.
Yeah, so I worked in minor league baseball for a really long time, and I worked in the Royals organization, the Rockies organization, the Brewers organization, and almost always there'd be some sort of roving instructor that was flying in and planting their flag with the team for a little while. And that just, there aren't enough guys in the Cardinals organization roving around. When Jordan Walker got sent back to AAA this past year, the Cardinals should have had a roving outfield instructor that they could have sent to Memphis and just had there to work with him defensively. When he was up in the big leagues working with Willie McGee every day, he was getting so much better defensively. That all went away when he went down to Memphis. The Cardinals have to have people that they can go send to places throughout the minor leagues to help guys get better.
So what happens to that guy? Like Jordan Walker and a couple of the other names that we were expecting to be potential superstars. Now, we can't pass over Mason Winn because, holy moly, that guy, he's doing his job, right? And he's going to be here for a while. But what about Jordan Walker? And well, I'm forgetting another name.
Nolan Gorman's probably the other guy that you put in there. Look, there's a lot of pressure on this organization to have people in place to help unlock these guys. Brant Brown's the new hitting coach. He comes in with a pretty solid pedigree on working with guys. There's going to be other hires. There's going to be other infrastructure that's put in. But the number one goal, I think, for the Cardinals is to get Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman back on the right path. And if they are,
man, I hope that's possible.
Everything else kind of fits in.
Right. If they are, that provides you with a lot of flexibility. But if they're not, then you almost are taking a step back.
Yeah. Offensively, you have Contreras at first. If Walker and Gorman take a step forward, that more than makes up with whatever you're losing in Arenado and Goldschmidt.
Let's talk a little bit other sports. We touched on this with Frank and the Blues, but that was not a good weekend for the Blues, right?
Just terrible. And I want the Blues to be good so badly. Like, that's the team that I can just sit there and be a fan of. I don't really, I talk about them, but I'm not at games covering them and things like that very often. I just want them to be good. And this, I hate saying this, but to me, the core of this team are the guys that last year got a really good coach fired, and now they're just doing the same old you-know-what over again.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
How much do you have to take into consideration the loss of two of your big-name guys in Robert Thomas, Philip Broberg? I mean, the reason that I was so optimistic going into the season is because of the offer sheet additions that they made, and Broberg was so much promised to start off the year. How much does that, not only obviously on ice, but also off the ice, just take it out of a team when your two immediate guys are gone like that?
Yeah, I wish you were asking me that question 3 weeks from now, because generally in sports, when you lose a key player or you lose key players, everybody else comes together for kind of a short amount of time and they all lift their games and they play well, and you get kind of caught in this hole. You know, there's this fool's gold of, oh, maybe they're going to be okay. And then that dissipates and eventually you kind of regress back to the mean. That didn't happen with the Blues. We didn't see any of that. These guys get injured and we did not see everybody kind of coming together. So I understand what you're saying, Ethan. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's startling to me that after a major injury, we didn't see a bunch of guys find a different gear, even if it was just temporary.
What is your thought right now on the college football landscape? I've lost a little bit of track of Illinois because they had such a great season. What about Indiana? My gosh. Unbelievable story there. Mizzou survives one over the weekend. That was incredible. I just talked to Frank about Brady. I don't know if he's going to play against South Carolina. Mizzou has a couple of different paths. They could lose the next three games. They could win the next three games. Who knows what's going to happen?
Has there ever been a 7-2 team from the SEC that you have felt more poorly about?
No. Like, no. Isn't that weird, though?
Yeah, it's crazy because the two really legit teams they've played with, they just got run off the field. With no disrespect meant to Vanderbilt and BC, the other kind of two okay teams that they've matched up against. But the two really good teams just took care of them without a problem. Look, give credit. They found a way to win. It was that first half was ugly. It was
three quarters of the game was about the most boring game I've ever seen.
All
it was
about
3.5 minutes at
right?
the end. Yeah, that was it.
And then they score those and they get the scoop. And I mean, it was...
that was exciting. Yeah. And then you got the Chiefs game from yesterday. I mean, they just get so lucky, right? The other teams that hate, you know, the fans of the teams that hate the Chiefs just have to be saying, man, what can we do differently, right?
Roger Goodell has a voodoo doll with whatever team that they're playing against. And yeah, I mean, a walk-off blocked kick.
Oh,
when
my.
Does that happen?
I know.
When
I mean,
does that happen?
I sat there, surprisingly, I was about to turn it off. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch it. Maybe he'll shank it. It's a chip shot. And then they block it, which was just glorious. The other thing, I talked to Frank about this game tonight. Look, I think the LA Rams are going to be in contention here for the playoffs in a few weeks because they're getting healthier.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be... I'm not a Rams fan. Don't get me wrong here. I was never a fan when they were here in St. Louis. But I think they're rounding into form right now because they're healthy.
You're probably right, but I hate them.
I know.
So.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
But I'm an NFL fan, Matt Pauly. What can I say?
You could see the hatred in his eyes.
Oh, I just hate them so much.
It.
Yeah. My favorite team every week is the team that the Rams are playing.
And I'm fine with that. In fact, tonight, I would like Nacua to either get thrown out of the game. I don't want him to get injured. That's not a nice thing to say. But I'm facing him in fantasy football. And if he has a big game, I likely lose my game. So
all right. It's
all about my fantasy football team.
That's all that matters.
Matt, what can I say?
What's your fantasy football team's name?
I used to ride a bike with a bunch of folks. Like some of them were really good road racers, and we had these jerseys that were created years ago.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
That were invented to create confusion among other cyclists, and we had like very stealth jerseys that were called Special Ops. Mm. So people would see us and like, oh man, what's that? Big Shark Special Ops. So my team is called Special Ops because of that jersey from many years ago. That was a long explanation of why I call it that, but that's the name of it.
Okay, that's good.
But people come up with, see, my name's not very creative. People come up with really creative names in fantasy football.
We're fans of the Mass Singer in the Pauly household, so mine is the Mass Kicker.
Oh!
Yes.
Ethan, what's your team name?
Team Hanny. All of them.
Oh,
team Hanny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine is just consistent with Special Ops. Now, since we brought up fantasy and Sue's not here, she'd be rolling her eyes. Most of the audience will be. So I have three leagues that I'm in, right? League that I got an A+ in my draft, I suck completely.
Yeah.
In the league that I got a D in my draft, I suck completely. In the draft where I had a C-, I'm actually been doing really well, but I need to win tonight. So it's just so funny.
The algorithm doesn't know how good you're going to be at the beginning of the season.
No, and sometimes it's just ridiculous. Look, I've had, you know who's been killing it for me? Saquon, except not yesterday.
Yeah.
And Jalen had all the, and I have him in another league, but I needed Barkley to step up. So, but fantasy football's fun. I just would like to maybe finish in the money one of these years for sure. Matt, it's great to see you. How's the family?
They're good. I got the 5-month-old has not been sleeping a lot lately, so I haven't been sleeping a lot lately.
Oh, kind of went into the other direction?
Yeah, did the sleep regression thing, which
that
was
happens.
Not fun. Yeah.
Right.
5-hour energy going, baby.
I have a new grandson down
in
Houston
who
will be here in just a few weeks for Thanksgiving. He is, oh man, he's like 10 weeks old now, I think, which is hard to believe.
How many times have you seen him? Just the one time?
Just once. Okay. Unfortunately, I went down there for the weekend a few weekends ago, and then they're coming in for Thanksgiving. It's just, it's not an easy place to get to with your car because it's a pretty long drive, and then throwing airfare together in short notice with three people is tough as well, but it was great. Yeah, we're looking forward to Thanksgiving for sure. But Matt, thanks for coming in. We always love talking a little sports here and fantasy football with Ethan here as well. You know, he's the voice of the Lindenwood football team.
They had
a big win over the weekend, too, over SEMO.
Yeah.
How about that?
Not too
Matthew,
bad.
We'll see you soon.
All right.
Take care. Audio cut of the day coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.